Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast himself, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I am excellent, Chris. I say excellent. I'm a little bit worried that at any point during this recording, my face is going to swell up like a big swollen tumescent thing.
What have you eaten?
Because I've not eaten anything, and that's possibly the problem. I have just put on a jumper that I found in my cupboard, and I can smell that it's very dusty, absolutely moth-eaten, and the last time I think I put on this very jumper, when I hadn't worn it for about 5 months because it was warm, my face started swelling up because I've got terrible aversion to dust mites and their excrement. So I'm a little bit. So if I start sort of swelling up, my nose starts streaming, you'll know why. The jumper has claimed yet another victim. Me again, repeatedly.
Oh dear. Well, we'll know very quickly.
I'm hated by knitwear, Chris. This is how we're starting the show. It's 8 a.m. on a Wednesday. The show goes out in audio form this evening, and it goes out in video form the day after. And I'm on a tightrope of dust mite related allergies.
Dust mite tightrope. Well, we'll know pretty fast in this episode how degraded you'll become. We'll watch a gradual dip.
We'll see.
Just like me, after I do a podcast, after I've eaten like a bucket of rice and chicken, where my blood sugar levels tank and I go all over the place.
Chris is, whenever we record, Chris is either hungry or tired, depending on whether he's eaten or not. He's got two states. It's very binary. He's not like a quantum computer. He's very much one, hungry, or zero, very, very sleepy because you've just eaten.
It's bad. I don't know if it's a me problem. If I think like a third of people have this, where if you eat food,
it's a podcast problem, Chris.
Well, you clearly don't have this problem. I'll eat something, and then about an hour later, I just crash, and it takes about an hour to 90 minutes to get rid of that.
Honestly, I cannot eat anything at lunchtime these days because I go into Donaldson the Sleepy Bear mode, and I need to have a little lie down. and that's not allowed in an office. That's not allowed when you're in an office. Like, people take umbrage with that sort of thing.
It's a good thing you work in a shed at the bottom of your garden, Pete.
It is,
get away with it.
Mainly.
You'll be fine.
Mainly.
As you can tell, if you're watching this on YouTube, weirdly, my voice sounds weird today. Somebody said my voice sounds odd. Does it sound different?
Oh. Stop reading the comments. Stop reading the YouTube comments.
Sounds like I got a cold and all I did was go out.
You do sound a little.
I had a drink with the other Pete. American Pete, and that seems to buggered me a bit. But anyway, you know, like I'm how good the podcast is going to be by what I'm wearing and what kind of earphones or headphones I'm using. And today I'm using old school Apple earphones with a cable because I can't find my headphones and I can't find my AirPods and I can't find literally anything. Where's everything gone?
Dear.
It's really annoying. This is walking around the studio in circles.
I think you must be very lucky that you aren't about to start what can only be described as your most arduous video shoot yet, and you can't find your bloody AirPods, for crying out loud.
I think it's probably why I can't find them. My mind is being tugged in like 8 different directions at once. I'm managing a team of sort of 10 different folks, right, joining Journey Across Japan next week. And just today, I realised...
He said folks, guys.
So the plan is that we've got like 3 vehicles. We've got the K car that I'm going to be driving with Natsuki and the guests that join us. We've got another vehicle for most of the team. And then we've got a third sort of vehicle that the editors are going to be working from and editing from in the freezing cold. So I have to leave the engine running most of the time. But I realised, would the engine on the vehicle, and it's kind of like a mini people carrier that's been modified to be an RV, and it's got a cool little table. It's going to be quite cosy in there, but would running the engine be enough to power MacBook Pros and laptops and equipment? And I realised, possibly not. And given how important it is, they have to work out the back of this vehicle on the road. They're not going to be like working while the thing's moving, so don't worry about that. It's probably against the Geneva Convention to edit video while in a moving vehicle on the road. But so I'm going to buy this power bank, and it looks like it could power a fucking aircraft carrier, the one that I'm looking at. You're like a team of people to move it, and it looks like you can power the sun with this device.
Yeah,
it looks really cool. It's not cheap. It's about $500, but with this device, we can power anything forever, eternally. And if there's an earthquake, it could be kind of handy as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't bet against an earthquake, but I wouldn't bet for an earthquake. I would say, I've seen these kind of really expensive batteries on Instagram. I think Anker are the ones that
we looked at Anker. Wasn't powerful enough.
Yeah, I mean, you can get these ones that, can literally power your house for a bit, which is very exciting. They're, $4,000, and they're absolutely massive. It's the sort of thing we should have invested in at Stack HQ, because our only nemesis at Stack HQ is just the power going down. As soon as the power goes down, every bit of kit in the studio decides that it's forgotten what it does and who it is, and more importantly, what IP address it is. I've spoken about this before on the audio version of this podcast. Why does everything need an IP address in 2023? Why does an SD recorder need an IP address? That's the thing that always messes us up. So I should have very much installed a battery early on in this little stack. This enjoyable stack adventure, but I didn't, and so every time I see one of these batteries on Instagram, I sort of go that we should have invested. Years ago in one of these.
Hopefully, I can use the incredible power bank to just plug into myself and charge myself throughout the series, because I'm certainly going to need it, given how relentless it's going to be. So, if you missed the announcement, guys, go back and watch the other video. Or it should be an announcement video coming out on Abroad in Japan today or tomorrow, where I'm going to talk about Journey Across Japan in more detail. 21 days on the road, 2,000 kilometers, 6 prefectures, 6 guests. It's going to be mental, and above all, daily videos. So that's the difficult bit, and to point at good daily videos as well, not just crappy ones. That's why it's required so much time, effort and resources.
Have you got star maps and epic examples of cartography all over your room? Like, we're gonna start here, start over there. We plan out the the weather and stuff. Have you is it particularly cold in December this year? Are you in a little bit of bother in that sense?
It is going to be pretty cold, I think. Not as cold as other winters. Global warming has done wonders for Journey Across Japan. We can travel with less snow. Yay, global warming. Brilliant stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's been quite an unusually hot year, so I think winter could be a bit milder, but we'll see. I'm expecting lots of snow, though, because Aomori, where we're going, has the highest snowfall in the world. So, if we're not prepared, things can go wrong very fast indeed out there, but it'll make great videos, right? Whenever things go wrong, that's when, comedy gold or amazing moments happen. As long as it doesn't go too wrong, because then it stops being funny and health insurance claims need to be found. Yeah, let's not go too wrong, but fingers crossed. Kicking off soon. We got a story this week from Ryan in Canada, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. This is a tale of the renowned Japanese service culture. My wife and I went to Japan on our honeymoon and travelled across the country for a few weeks. From Kyoto, we planned to stop in Hakone for one night and onsen, then on to Tokyo to catch our flight home. We arranged Yamato luggage service with the front desk at our hotel, the idea being our bags would be sent directly to the airport, allowing us to travel lightly through Hakone. We departed the hotel early and began our trip to Hakone, hopping onto the Karasuma line to transfer and catch the Shinkansen from Kyoto Station. While waiting on the platform, the receptionist from our hotel suddenly materialised, out of breath and with two heavy bags in tow. She was apologising profusely and holding out the sealed envelope I'd given her the previous evening for the luggage service. She explained that our baggage wouldn't have made it in time for our flights, and so, after several failed phone call attempts, had decided to try and catch up with us. My God, what incredible dedication to service. And when I think about it, I still have so many questions. How in the world did she find us? How did she get on the platform? Would she have had to pay? Talk about going above and beyond. Thanks for doing what you can, guys. Ryan in Canada with the greatest hotel. My God, what hotel was that? That's like, that's ridiculous. Like, to know that Ryan was going from that train station, that platform, to get through the barriers, she would have had to use a Suica card or have a chat with the people running the train station, like the, you know, the barrier gate people. Like, that's pretty impressive. Most people would have given up. If it was the UK, they would have gone, oh, he's just gone, isn't it? Oh, fuck it.
Would have taken it to the car park and set fire to it. Just really would have. We cannot complete the job, so we're just going to pretend it never happened. I mean, how the hell did they find them? How the hell did that woman find the people just randomly on a train platform? That's so confusing.
That is weird. Was she? Did she have some sort of surveillance technology? Or she probably guesstimated it, right? Oh, they've stayed at this hotel. They're going to Kyoto. They probably went from the main Karasuma station. I don't know. Either way, that's really damn impressive. Like, genuinely impressive.
She was probably quite relieved that she didn't have to lug the luggage back to the hotel as well. I mean, as jobs go, like whenever I was in gainful employment, 9 to 5. I would appreciate any deviation from my usual boring nonsense. So I would love a quest like that. I would go, yeah, you know, it's me to chase some people down the platform. Yeah, I'll do it. Give us the luggage, and I'd be off like a shot. But it is, I think when you've got a job that's very, it's the same thing every day, I think it's quite nice to sort of have a little quest. And what a successful and satisfying job. To be able to complete that particular quest. Great stuff.
I mean, it's so good. I'm almost suspicious it would have been like an ad for a hotel in disguise. Like, Ryan works at like a hotel in Kyoto, and it's like the Higashiyama Hotel. They ran from it. They're brilliant, you know. It's so nice. It's so generous. But he didn't even write the bloody hotel. Let us know what the hotel is, Ryan, because I want to stay there. I want to leave my bags. I want to test this. I want to test this out. I'm going to be waiting on a platform just to test out the service. We've got a story next week about hotel culture in Japan, actually, revolving around Hilton and an advertising campaign they put out that enraged people in Japan because it had a pop at the traditional ryokan in sort of industry. But that's next week's episode. What's going on this week, though, Mr. Dawson? What's going on in the news in Japan this week?
Oh, dear.
you start every story with that. It's always like, Chris. You won't believe what
Japan's
happened now.
Japan's foreign population has reached record levels.
Damn those foreigners.
Well, I mean, there's a massive labour shortage issue, and basically volunteers in the western prefecture of Mie have compiled a guide to commonly used onomatopoeic words for language learners. The book entitled Ekara Oto ga Wakaru Hon Understanding sounds using pictures was the idea of someone called Masao Hara, the deputy head of a non-profit in the prefecture, whose interactions with non-Japanese convinced him the guide to the onomatopoeic words would be useful. It contains a host of words that can be used in every situation. We haven't done speedy Japanese in a long time on the Japanese Bron Japan podcast, but there's a really good set of kind of terms that are really useful. For example, when you go to the doctors, if you want to talk about something throbbing, zuki zuki. So if your ankle really hurts, or your shoulder really hurts, or your knee really hurts and it throbs, you say zuki zuki. Or if you've got a pounding headache, it's gan 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 gan. Or piri piri, stinging insect bite, which kind of works with that.
You made it sound like piri piri sauce.
Yeah, exactly. or scratchy is muzu muzu, which is absolutely adorable. The guide only muzu muzus the surface, though. There are said to be over 1,000 onomatopoeic pieces of language examples in Japanese, enough to make most language learners come over fura fura, which means dizzy. My favourite one, Chris, is there was a video game called Doki Doki Literature Club, I think. And it was like a horror.
Popular one.
It was, yeah, really, really popular horror kind of cutesy poo kind of. I don't know what you call it. It's kind of interactive fiction kind of nonsense. It's all. So, quite difficult to pass, I find, those games. But it was very subversive and fun. But
just like
Doki Doki is, I think, it's the heart going, oh.
It is, yeah. It means like heart beating. Actually, I can't see it. Just out of shot, I've got a sign in the studio, neon light, for a love heart, like a heart, right? It's supposed to be like a snack bar, and it says on there Doki Doki, so like heart
Doki Doki
kind of thing. when you've had a heart attack. There's so many. Like there's peko peko, which means like starving, like onaka peko peko, I'm starving. Shabu shabu, the food, right? Where you swish the meat through the hot pot water. Shabu shabu is that sort of swish swish kind of motion and sound, right? Saku saku means crispy. That's quite a popular one. Saku saku. Kari kari means crispy again. Foie foie. I like foie foie.
Foie foie. What's foie foie? That sounds lovely.
Can you guess? It's onomatopoeia for food. Foie foie.
Food, foie foie, too hot. Foie foie, too hot, foie foie.
No, but that's a good guess. It's, it means fluffy. So if you like foie foie, like fluffy.
Oh, foie foie.
You see that a lot, actually.
Foie, right.
Foie. You see that one of the most,
soup.
I think.
Foie foie.
I love foie foie. Foie, foie. It's great.
Foie foie.
Waku waku, which sounds like something out of, is it a character from Sesame Street? Waku waku means like gushing out of the ground, so like water.
Oh, wow.
Waku waku.
Waku waku. What does that mean? Like the kind of water sort of bubbling up? Or so? It's a little bit like sign language, isn't it? You're kind of like, I kind of get it. Fa fa.
Yeah. For example, waku waku, it's to describe the gushing of water, but it also indicates like excitement. So there's a example here,
steady.
Like kanjo ga ryugaku o e kaite kuru waku waku shinagara kūkō ni mukai ni ita. Like my girlfriend was on her way back from studying abroad. I was excited as I went to meet her at the airport. So like waku waku shinagara while I was excited, and or kūkō ni mukai ni ita. Yeah, waku waku.
Sounds like fun.
But the most common one, perhaps, is pera pera. Pera pera. Do you know what that means?
It's nothing really like piri piri, the stinging one, right? Pera pera.
Pera
no,
pera.
Not a clue.
It means, like, to be fluent. To be fluent in something. So, like, ego pera pera. Like, he's really good at... He's fluent at English. Or Nihongo pera pera. Fluent at Japanese. So, like, Nihongo Jozu is kind of like the one you hear, but the one people would use everyday life more naturally is pera pera. Usually means they're fucking brilliant. They're not Jozu. It's a step above Jozu. They're one more step above Jozu. And finally, goro goro means pera, rolling. Pera. Goro goro.
Goro goro.
Remember, I was one of the first ones I learned. When I was a teacher back years ago, living in my apartment, I put on the TV and I watched this show about a single Japanese woman living alone in a house. And she was really like sophisticated and slick at work. and then she'd get home and just be like a drunkard alone in a room. And I'll never remember, I remember it was quite a jar. It's called like a Hoshi Hikaru or something. It was a bit weird. But she would get home, get open the beer, lay down flat, and roll across the carpet going, goro, 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 goro. And I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Find any way you can to cope. That's what I say. there was an advert when I was in Japan a couple of months ago. They had an advert for a delicious beer. I forget, I think it was like Sapporo, like Black Label or something. I don't know, something like a fancy version of the normal lager. But this businessman, this kind of young, kind of good-looking businessman, is he's just on the train home and he's thinking about this beer. He's walking through the streets and he's thinking about this beer. He gets in the house, puts his jacket down, he opens the fridge, starts slamming a beer, and I'm like, mate, this isn't aspirational. You're an alcoholic. You're thinking about drinking this beer all day, you lunatic. It's weird, isn't it? Oh yeah, yeah.
And then he laid down on the floor, rolled across it, and went, goro, 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 goro.
Goro, goro, goro.
Waku, waku, doki, doki, goro, goro. I love it. Yeah, I think one of the coolest things about learning Japanese on a match pier, there's so many, as you said earlier, 1,000 though. Like, it's a nightmare to know them all. And Natsuki will always bash one out, and I'll be like, I haven't a bloody clue what that is. Wacky, wacky, smoky, smoky. but anyway, one of the funnest parts of learning the language. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Hey marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson, from our listeners?
Well, we got one message from Simon. Hello, Simon. Hi, guys. This is Simon. I'm the only one in my family that consumes the podcast and YouTube channel and find myself muttering Natsuki-isms such as, like a magic, at least half a dozen times a day. Needless to say, I get some rather confused looks. My question, focused to Chris. Sorry, Pete. Yourself repeating Natsuki's or other friends' phrases? And have you given Natsuki any funny Japanese in return? Do you spend your days walking the streets of Tokyo muttering Natsuki-isms like a magic? Too much volcano, etc.
I try not to. I mean, I was with Natsuki 2 days ago. He came to the studio and got the grand tour. He was very impressed. But, yeah, I mean, I've certainly bestowed more knowledge to Natsuki than he's given to me over the years. I've taught him all the swear words, which I should never have done because he uses them way too often, way too awkwardly and frequently. I think I've just learned swear words from him, like ksaw, like shit. I think that's the swear word he uses the most. Ksaw means like shit, right?
Ksaw.
It's like K-U-S-O. Ksaw. The U sounds almost silent. We're teaching all the wrong words this week, aren't we?
I think it's fantastic because it's like, it's got the plosive of k, it's got the so, so you can just go so, and you can do it for as long as you so. Shit, like that bloke in the wire.
It's just like that, but Natsuki, yeah, I try not to speak like Natsuki. He's got a very unique style that I think lends itself well to entertainment, and his very unique personality.
My partner was talking to him last Christmas. Natsuki gave us his heart, and the very next day, etc. Sarah was asking him what do people do on Christmas Day? In Japan? Because obviously, you know, they don't celebrate it. And Natsuki turned to her and went, meet a foreign lover? I just think about meeting a foreign lover on Christmas Day to celebrate with them. Meeting foreign lover.
It's just so weird. His English knowledge is so sporadic and patchy, he'll just bash out a word. I don't know where he learns these words. Maybe he learns something in his days off, but he'll be like, "Oh, so very fuck consequential." And I'll be like, "What? Where did you learn that word? Where did you learn this word? Why?" No, it's just like he'll surprise you. He'll surprise you in all the wrong ways. But yeah, I love it. That's what makes Natsuki so damn brilliant. We got one in from Carlos who says, "Hello, cheeky Chris and polite Pete. I'll be visiting Japan for 10 days in late June for my honeymoon." Congratulations, Carlos. This is my third trip to Japan, and given the scorching and sweltering heat, I was thinking of visiting Tohoku or Hokkaido. Chris, you lived in both. What do you think? Any places I can't miss? All the best, Carlos." To which I say, June is really awful, and Tohoku's no exception. It's really hot in Tohoku. Hokkaido is the only place that is genuinely not unbearable in Japan in summer, in June. So definitely go there. Don't go to Wakanai, the most northern place. There's sod all there, as we've established in more than one video. I'd say just go to Sapporo. Sapporo in summer is amazing. And I did a whole video with the aforementioned Natsuki in Sapporo, eating all the amazing food. If you do go there, Genghis Khan barbecue is the one to have. That's the thing, right, Pete? Did you have it when we went? Did you have Genghis Khan?
No, I don't think is that a chain?
No, he's a Mongolian dictator, but in Japan, it's a lamb mutton barbecue on a cool concave grill. You haven't had that?
I think I would remember that because I bloody love a bit of lamb, bit of mutton. Beautiful.
We took you for wasabi takoyaki instead. So, lamb mutton barbecue. It's amazing. One last question from John who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I work for Australia Post, and I'm curious about how the postal network operates in other countries. Oh, my God. What's the usual turnaround for standard deliveries within Japan? Have you ever had anything going missing? All the best, John." Well, as we established in the story of the week, John, sometimes the bags don't arrive on time. But what I will say is most domestic stuff in Japan seems to arrive within one day, which kind of makes the story all the more surprising that we read out earlier, actually. I've never heard of it. Yeah. Taking more than a day, so it's weird.
I've used the postal service like a few times, just sending back those little Wi-Fi dongles that were very popular about 10 years ago. But I think the recent trip, I got a laptop delivered in about 2 days from for like a tenner from the deepest, darkest bits of Kagoshima. up to Tokyo, just like that, and it was just there, packaged beautifully, and it was just absolutely cracking stuff.
Yeah, I think the packages and luggage 2 days sometimes, but yeah, generally Japan, the post is very good, honestly. And if you saw our climb up Mount Fuji, they've got a post office on the summit of Mount Fuji, so they go everywhere. Famously, there was a news story about, I think it was Domino's or Pizza Hut. I think it was Domino's that delivered a pizza to the summit of Mount Fuji in August. And everyone was like, wow, it's so brilliant, it's so smart. Mm. Everyone failed to realise it was a very smart PR thing rather than some sort of brilliant service. They just, someone had the unlucky job of carrying a pizza up a mountain wearing a Domino's outfit. that's not the same as having real delivery, but it's still pretty cool to get to the summit and see the JP Post shop where you can send stuff. Pretty cool, pretty cool. Keep your stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment below if you're watching on YouTube with hashtag faxmachine. We'll check there as well. I think John's one's from YouTube, so sugoi. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.